Hey, welcome back. Here to wrap up KER Politics. I'm talking with a new friend of mine, Ivan Petchikoff. Ivan is a reporter with the Epoch Times, along with my friends Charlotte Cuthbertson, Joshua Phillip, and certainly Valentin Schmidt. Joshua was talking about something that I find to be fascinating because I read just recently, earlier this week, that Hillary Clinton will be required to testify on the subject that we're discussing. Can you finish your story real quick, Ivan?
Sure. So we left off at the key people at the FBI knowing nothing about this alarming referral that every one of Hillary Clinton's emails was going to a foreign third party. By some accounts, anonymous accounts that the Daily Caller and Fox News reported on, every email was going to a Chinese company in the Washington, D.C. area. And the president actually tweeted about that last year as well. So what I've discovered is the key people knew nothing about this referral, which appears to suggest a few storylines. And of course, I don't have the proof to say which one is right, but one possibility may be that when this referral was passed on to the FBI and a small group, it was passed on to four people at the FBI, that one or more of them decided to internally suppress that part of the referral. And as a result, we now are hearing from all these people that they knew nothing about it. And the pattern that happened during the investigation is that the people who started on the probe, and then, you know, Peter Stroke and people above him in the chain of command were all replaced during the course of the year long, basically, investigation. So people who started it and who have received that referral were all gradually replaced during the investigation. And when it wrapped up, it was an entirely new team, with the exception being literally, as far as management goes, two or three people. Peter Stroke, Jonathan Moffa, and James Comey.
Yeah.
So there's some odd things going on that would suggest that this could have been repressed or ignored by a handful of people.
You know, it's funny, Ivan, but before the election, when Trump was elected, my question to listeners, not my question, but my statement to listeners, kind of the overall statement that I made on this show, was we're going to see in this coming election, I don't mean 2020, but I mean the 2016, just exactly how much the American people have to say about choosing their leaders and just how strong the Clinton family really is. While the results of the November 2016 election proved that they weren't as strong as they thought they would, but you know, this thing is still dragging out and dragging out and dragging out to the point where we almost have a civil war in the, not necessarily a physical civil war quite yet, but we have almost a political civil war in the United States right now. And I would say the Clinton family is probably, you know, when the dust settles, for lack of better terms, I would think that the Clinton family is going to be implicated as being one of the most instrumental in some of the events that are going on right now, which I feel are really, really, it's one of the reasons, in my opinion, that we have a dysfunctional government right now. Would you agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
You would. Okay. Let me ask you another question. You know, you and I were chatting. We've got about 6 minutes left here or so. But you and I were chatting off mic about an issue that I think is really interesting. And that is, I told you that from the discussions that I've had with Josh and Charlotte over the past few years, really, that the Epoch Times is pretty much, and they certainly seem to be pretty much pro-Trump. And I posed that question to you, and you said, you know, it's not necessarily a question of being pro-Trump or anti-Trump. It's a question of reporting the news accurately. That's the mantra at the Epoch Times, and that's why I love you guys. Elaborate on that, if you would.
Well, yeah, thank you. I think what's happening in the media world right now, and especially leading up and after the 2016 election, is We're really seeing the true colors of the major media organizations coming out, because their grip on control is loosening, and just about everything you read from these major, I would say, formerly respected newspapers is tainted with bias. And you know, we're a relatively small player when we were starting out. But the origins of the newspaper always dealt with reporting the news accurately. So we may stand out among the crowd of all the mainstream and establishment outlets as pro-Trump, but not because we are necessarily like doing political work, but we're just covering the news. But if you contrast it with the rest of what's going on, it may seem pro-Trump for sure. I'd venture to say that.
Well, I would have to say that the only reason I think that somebody would get the impression of it being pro-Trump is because you guys are open-minded. The mainstream media, in my, you know, I thought the New York Times up until about 2014 till 2015 was a really fun paper to read, and then I canceled my subscription, which was, you know, living out in the sticks like I do, it was a fairly expensive subscription. I canceled it because I realized we were getting news that really didn't make a lot of sense. It was more emotional opinion than anything else. And I feel the same way, unfortunately, about the Washington Post. I guess the reason I feel that way is because the current administration is very definitely not necessarily pro anything other than the United States, and I certainly appreciate that. I think as a country, Ivan, that we truly have to do the best that we can for ourselves, and I'm saying that not to be selfish. I'm saying it because we've helped an awful lot of people over the years, and if we weren't strong, if we didn't have a strong industrial base, a strong military base, we would not have been able to do that. Now, sure, we made a lot of mistakes during that time, but you know what? We also saved a hell of a lot of lives.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. Having said that, you know, I see a bit of a similarity. I know a little bit. I mentioned to you off mic that I have an undergraduate degree in Russian literature, and I learned an awful lot from Mr. Tolstoy and certainly Mr. Dostoevsky and the rest of them. And one thing I learned quite a bit about was some of the rebellions, for lack of better terms, that occurred in Russia. And if you look at the one that started just at the early part of the 20th century, around 1900, between 1900 and 1905, that culminated in the revolution in about 1917, those revolutions were really very similar, in my opinion, in their beginning as to what could eventually happen here in the United States. I really, at the risk of trying to be dramatic, Ivan, I really, really am somewhat fearful of what I would call the Socialist Democrats. I don't know how far they take it. Some of their actions so far have been, I would say, number one, rude, and number two, totally inhumanitarian. Any comments on that?
Oh yeah, I would totally agree with that. I mean, any person who lived in Russia at that time that's still alive now would recognize the similarities. And I mean, they call themselves the Democratic Socialists, but really they socialist, and really ultimately, socialism is just a preliminary stage to communism.
Yep.
And yeah, what the Democratic Socialists are doing is what they're doing is, well, what they've been actually doing for a long time, but what's alarming is that they're actually getting media attention, and that the young people in this country are actually aligning with their ideas, which is really terrifying, because if you look back at history, the results that socialism gets anywhere, right, eventually turn to utter failure, brutality, and death. Mm-hmm.
I agree. Mr. Panchikov, we got to take a break here. Not take a break. We got to wrap it up. KER, politics is over. I got to tell you, sir, you have become one of my go-to guests from the Epoch Times, and I certainly appreciate your help. Have a great weekend, sir.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.